All right, I hear a little voice in the background that I know so well.
Little
Hello,
giggle.
This is Howard. How are you today?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
How's husband Bob, by the way?
He's very well. He's been listening in on and off to the
All
conference,
right.
and he's all excited. It's been awesome. It's been definitely anointed and spirit-filled, and I wish I could have listened to it
Woo-hoo.
all the time, but I tried to listen in as much as I could,
Sure.
and I'm just pumped. It's awesome, Mark. What's going on here?
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Angie has been on for several years also on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. It's the Hiding Place, Angie Howard. And I'm telling you, she's always there. She's always ready. And no matter what we do, she's always there to be a part of it. She is also a part of the Wednesday morning prayer team. Used to be with Colin Cock, a good friend of hers, that they did it together for 2 years. And now Jessica Arianis is, hey, do you hear that? I said her name right.
You did it
Jessica
pretty good.
Arianis
I'm glad you did
is
because
with
I
her.
didn't know how to say it, so
That's probably the 42nd time I've had to say it before I got it right. So,
You about got her broke in all right?
it's all right. And you
Yeah,
got her broke
I think, whatever. She's awesome.
in.
She's awesome. Yeah, I
She
was
is
blown away.
audacious.
She said that, she was a little nervous, and I was like, well, you couldn't tell because
Yeah,
you did. She did
that's right.
wonderfully. I think the Father really is doing something here because I feel like a kindred connection with her. And I'm looking
Right.
forward to all that, the Father's going to use this for on Wednesday, as well as the rest of the week, because we pray with you guys even when we're not on air. So, yeah.
Well, the new Sunday morning team is Rabbi Emmanuel and Chrissy Gomez, and then
I
Tom
know.
and Retta Collins is on Sabbath, and we have a new husband and wife team on Tuesdays. Stephen and Francilia McDonald is starting in and acclimating with Stephen, Susan, and Dr. Scotty on next Tuesday, and then they're doing
That's great.
their show full time following that. So we got some changes coming up, especially with morning prayers. But let me tell you what, it's all for the good. The
It
Lord is
is.
in control. The
Amen.
Lord is in control.
Amen.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Changes are
And
good.
yes, Angie, we're calling your next 50 minutes the your 50 minutes of fame on
Okay.
Lamb Radio. No, we're giving you a hard time there. It's all yours, and we'll see you when you're done.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm honored to be here. And so, this is really an honor that I get to be a part of the conference that has been put together. I feel a little humbled that I'm with such wonderful anointed teachers and musicians. But I prayed and I asked the Father to give me a little word to go along with what's going on here, and I pray that it blesses you and encourages you in some small way. So here we go. So the name, as you know from the website of the teaching he gave me, is Who Do You Think You Are? Anyway, so I think too often in the body, especially in our ministry, we have a ministry, for those of you who don't know, called Shema Israel here in Cleveland, Tennessee. And this ministry that we have reaches out to the salt of the earth, like I like to call them. It's in a 7-story apartment building of Efficiency Apartments, low-income housing. And we were fortunate enough that the Father gave us this ministry during Shavuot this year. We had been meeting in our own building for a while, and the Father transitioned us out of that into this. And it has really been life-altering and humbling to be with these people who the world may consider castaways or outcast or forgotten. And Bob and I, through our testimonies, and I'm not going to go in through that, but we can relate to people like this because we too have been in positions and places in our life that that we can relate now. And he's given us a heart of mercy and compassion for this, group of people. And so we were placed there at Shavuot this year, and we've been meeting there twice a month on Sabbath, and it's been a beautiful blessing. We've had many speakers come. We've held feasts, a couple of feasts there, and it is amazing to see how receptive and welcomed we are by these people who who've never heard of anything Hebrew or heard of anything, you know, like the Old Testament kind of thing. And so they've been real receptive to us, and they've, you know, we have had people who've given their life to the Father and rededicated their life, and we're going to have a baptism, and it's just beautiful the way the Spirit's moving, and we just praise the Father for all that. And anyway, having said that, that's what inspired this word this week, is because so many times, because of situations and lifestyle choices and mistakes and sins that's been committed by these people, the enemy has lied to them so strongly that they're not worthy, that even after they, you know, profess their faith or repent, they still have this heaviness on them that they're not worthy, that they're not, you know, as good as someone else is who might have been serving the Father longer, or who might have special gifts that are more prominent to them according to the world or whatever. And it just breaks my heart. It's just such a tough battle for Bob and I and the rest of the people who are with us in this ministry. We have Marlene and Bob Davis and some other people. And just to get through to these people that they're forgiven, you know, they're really forgiven and that they're free. And so they don't really know, even though they have received Messiah and even though they have professed him and they have repented to receive what it is, you know, that he wants for them and grow in that and let go of the past. But the enemy, the liar who comes, that we know from John 10:10, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, a lot of these people have really strong testimonies in that, you know, they've made some really bad choices. Some of them, you know, they just are product of, you know, other things. But the point is that we're all forgiven, and it's really hard for them to know who they are in Messiah. And that's what inspired me. And I thought, well, if this is going on here so strongly, it's got to be going out there too. And so I want to encourage you, and I just pray that this message helps reveal to you who you are in Messiah, and more importantly, who he is in you. Because you are no longer who you were. And the accuser, the brethren, he's going to try to come and he's going to try to steal your joy and steal your freedom. He's going to try to destroy any hope that there might be in you. But Abba, the great I Am, is the Redeemer. He is the Restorer. He's the Repairer. He makes all things new. And it's like, you need to understand that. It's a gift. It's a gift by faith. And you lay your life on the altar. You lay yourself on the altar. And you will be raised up again, a new man in him. And I want to tell you who you are now. I want to encourage you to be all you were created and appointed to be, even before he put you in your mother's womb. He had a special plan and purpose for your life. And that's not a small thing. That's not a small thing at all. And I think there is such a problem in our world, in our society, and in the body most especially, of being able to perceive that, to have eyes to see exactly the fullness of who that, you know, new man is in Messiah. And so I just want to, you know, encourage you right now to just pray to him and ask him who you are and help him to deliver you from the enemy who's lying to you and who's trying to bring up your past mistakes and identity and tell, and who, not even your identity, because you never were what you done. That was just your sin that you needed delivered from, or your oppression or your distraction. And so, anyway, I just wanted to fit this into the theme of what we're doing here, because it's all about that. It's all about that. And I'm going to bring it all together in just a minute. But we know that we are so much more than what we're walking in. And so anyway, I wanted to just go over a few things that the Word says that you are, that we are as born-again children. We are born-again children of God. Do you know what that means? That means you, yes, you have an earthly father. And maybe he failed you, or maybe he was perfect. I don't know. But now, because of your faith in Messiah, no matter if you're Jew or Gentile, no matter if you're old or young, or black or white or Hispanic or Asian, no matter what you are a children. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child of the Most High God. That is a big thing. You get to go and say, Father, Abba. without fear of rejection, because he'll receive you. And you get to tell him who you are, and you get to talk to him face to face, just like Moses did, and without fear of being condemned or being, you know, not received because of the blood of Messiah. Now we get to come to him and we get to say, Abba, my life, you know, here it is, and here's what's going on, and I need you to help me, and I need you to make a way for me. And you get to talk to him and have a relationship with him and build that relationship with him and be face to face with him. It says in John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be the children of God. I mean, just let that sink in for a minute. Look around you at creation. Look around you at all that he has made. And yet, you get to be his child, his son, his daughter. You get to be in a close family relationship with him, where he's going to love you. He's going to love you on good days. He's going to love you on bad days. You know, he's going to correct you when you step out of line, and he's going to pat you on the back when you've done a good job and reward you. He's a good, fair, honest Abba. He'll never let you down, and he'll never leave you. And now you are part of his family. Hallelujah. Praise him for that. Praise him for that. Praise him, because no demon in hell can take that identity away from you. No matter how they try, and they will try. Don't believe them. Rebuke every thought that comes into your mind that exalts itself above that truth, because that is truth. Okay, and we are the righteousness of God through Messiah. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21, therefore we are ambassadors for Messiah, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Messiah, be reconciled to God, he who made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God through him. Hallelujah. It's not by our righteousness, which is, we know, as filthy rags, but by his righteousness, we are now the righteousness of God through our faith in Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is a promise. That is a truth. That is a word you can hold on to. No matter if you stumble, no matter if you fall, get up, shake it off, as that song goes. You are the righteousness of God. Keep going. Don't let that hold you back. Don't look back. Keep moving forward and praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Because you have been made the righteousness of God. And we are living epistles. We are the living word. The hands and feet and action. The word made live. Just like Messiah came and was the word made flesh. And now, because we are in Messiah and he is in us and we are in the Father, we too are the Word of God, living Word of God. Not to surpass him, understand, only through him, but we are his hands and feet. And it says in 2 Corinthians, you yourselves are our letters of recommendation, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You make it clear that you are a letter from the Messiah, placed in our care, written not with ink, but by the Ruach, by the Spirit of the living Elohim, God, not on stone tablets, but on human hearts. Woo! That is powerful stuff. That is powerful stuff. And it just, ooh, it makes me just want to dance and just sing and praise at what we've been given. This is such a responsibility, but it is such a gift that we, through our actions, through the living word in us, proclaim through us and our actions and our voices and everything that we are, we represent, and we are a living epistle, a living word of God in action. And how we treat one another, how we react to one another, all of this. And that's exciting. That is so exciting to know that we get to be the ones who carry the word of God to the nations. And as it is written in our heart, we, you know, offer this through the gospel, through the receiving of the gospel to others, so that they too can become living epistles for the glory of God, that the kingdom might expand and grow not just in numbers, but in power and manifestations of what it is that we have been called, appointed, and anointed to do. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. And I hope that you are too, because that's not a small thing. None of this is a small thing. We need to be walking in who we are. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what you've done or what you've been through. All things are passed away. All things have become new now. Them old things have been passed away. All things have become new now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us serve him with all our heart, all our mind, all our body, all our strength. Let's get up praising. Let's, in the middle of the day, we should be praising him. And at night when we lay our head on our pillow, let's praise him. Let's praise him through the trials and tribulations. Let's praise him through the things we don't understand. Let's praise him when our plans fail and his plans go on without us. Let's just praise him because he is good. And his will for us is, and his plan for us is so much better than anything that we could perceive or plot or put together ourselves. You know, we have to understand that just because he doesn't do things the way we expect or want or, you know, think that he should, that he's got a better plan, and we need to just let that go. That's not a sign that we've been rejected. You know, I think there's so much, and I've learned this through this ministry that the Father has so graciously given us. There are so many people out there who have feel so rejected by the world or someone, and a lot of them have felt rejected by leaders in the body who call themselves, you know, authority figures in the body. They've been rejected by these people and forgotten and just wrote off, that there's no hope for them. And then they come and they're so broken and they're just so desperate to be accepted because of all that rejection. And so we need to be careful as we are living epistles for the Father that we don't reject or doubt what Father can do in someone's life. We don't give up on people, okay? We just don't do that. Yes, there might be a time we need to separate from somebody because they won't receive their deliverance or they haven't been through what they need to go through to be open for whatever the Father wants to do in delivering them and redeeming them. But we never give up on people. We need to be constant in prayer for everyone, especially for those who need him the most, obviously. And we have seen some mass turnarounds from the time that we started this. And there would be people who would come and they would leave. And it's really, we've really had to pray for wisdom to know how to deal with different circumstances and situations in that, you know, some of these people would even come intoxicated, you know, and have these addiction problems and stuff like that. And so we've really had to pray for wisdom to know how to treat and deal with certain situations. And it's marvelous to see. It really is marvelous to see the marvelous light of Messiah shine through us, and that we could not have known how to deal with this without him leading us. And it's been wonderful because we've seen these same people, by being his little living epistles, and I fully believe that, come back weeks, you know, later and be sober and more ready to receive. As we're putting out these seeds, and it's like this last Shabbat yesterday, it was a beautiful thing because so many of the people that we have been praying for who have rejected or not received a lot of what we've been saying are now coming, and they were so interactive. They were asking questions. They were interested in the Hebrew things, but more they were interested in knowing and feeling like they were a part of something again, like they mattered, like they were, you know, important to the Father. And the redemption that's going on there has been from glory to glory. And there's been times when, you know, the enemy tried to discourage us and say, you know, nothing's going to happen. This is, you know, what are you doing here and stuff like that. But we just kept going and persevering and remembering the call that we had in the beginning and not letting the enemy try to make us think that, you know, we got this wrong. We're not supposed to be here. But we know that the Father put us there. And now we're starting to see the fruit of that and how glorious that fruit is, how beautiful that fruit is. And I can just almost feel the Spirit and the love that is being placed in this place that most of the people in this small city of Cleveland, Tennessee, may have written off. It's a very well-known place. If you go anywhere in Cleveland and you say the Summit, they know what you're talking about. And it's not always a favorable reaction that you get. But hallelujah, the Father's light shines the darkest shines the brightest in the darkest places. And that's exactly what's happening here. And we see that light growing and growing every week. And it is through praise. And you know what? When we first came there, and this ties into the proclamation part of the conference, we first came there, and I told you it was right around Shavuot. And the men in our assembly brought shofars. And you should have seen the people. They're walking around the four corners of the building inside, and they're blowing the shofar, and they're proclaiming that this land is dedicated to the Most High God, the God of Israel. And we're anointing it, and we're proclaiming it from the very top to the bottom and all the corners. And it was beautiful, and it was wonderful, and people were crying. And the residents there, they looked so, like, confused, but not one of them rejected what we were doing. And all of them have been gracious to say, oh, thank you for coming. Even the ones who don't necessarily come regularly, or some of them we haven't even seen come to the meetings at all, but they're there in the apartment building. And I know that they're experiencing things, and we are hearing testimonies of just small little things that are happening. And it's so encouraging. So anyway, getting back to the point is that if we weren't obedient to go in the Spirit of the Father as born-again children of God, as the righteousness of God, as living epistles of God, then this would not have happened. And so we praise Him. We praise Him. And prayer, we pray all the time, before each service, during the week. We get prayer requests that day. That's one of our most important ministries, is when we stand up there and we say, who needs prayer? And they raise their hands, and they have all these different prayer requests, and we take them and we offer them up to the Father, and we let them know that they matter, and that the Father hears their prayers just as well as He hears the prayers of the rich and the mighty. He hears their prayers, and how He loves the broken, and how He binds up the brokenhearted, and how He knows every hair on their head and every tear they've cried, and it matters. And see, a lot of them don't know the Word, and so we have to proclaim the Word, and we're passing out Bibles, and we're feeding them hot meals, and we're asking them, what can we do for you? How can we serve you? And so that is being the anointed, appointed living Word, epistle of God. It's by doing what it says, not just memorizing what it says. And I thank God, and I praise Him, and I lift Him up, that He has given us the opportunity in some small way to be able to do that. And so, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And wherever you are, whatever ministry He's put you in, I praise Him for that too, that you would do it with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. We are all different people with different experiences and backgrounds and personalities and cultures, even, that He would place us strategically in all His wisdom and all His glory, exactly where He wants us to do, to be, to use that information, to use that history, to be able to relate to the people and to bring His name forward in every circumstance and every situation, whether it's in the midst of scholars or whether it's in the midst of the broken who are not learned. And just let His light shine forward, that we are all Echad. We are all one, and we are unified. And what unifies us is Messiah, the cornerstone that we must build every other ministry on. And that we can hold hands and unite as one, encouraging one another. Not bickering, not being jealous of someone else's calling or ministry. Not criticizing, not backbiting or bashing one another, but praying for one another, loving one another, encouraging one another, respecting one another, but walking out our own convictions and our own callings and our own lives through the grace and the mercy of our Messiah. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. And here, that brings me to one of my most beautiful things that we get to be, and that is the bride, the helpmate of our King, our Messiah, our bridegroom, Yeshua. Oh, hallelujah. We get to be the bride. What a glorious thing, you know, in the Word, the love story, the Word of God, we see how the bride is so precious and so beautiful and so special to the Father. oh, what a beautiful thing. We can read in Song of Solomon's, you know, how much he loves us and how intimate he wants to be with us. And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing that we get to be that. We get to be that. We get to be the bride. And, I mean, it's just a wonderful thing. And in Isaiah 54:5, it describes something. It describes it so beautifully for me. For it says, for your husband is your maker, Yahuwah, Shavuot. He is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the Elohim of the earth. He is called whole. He is our husband. Do you see? Your husband. You can't get more intimate than that. You know, that's even, you know, more than being our father, which is awesome. He is our husband. He covers us. He protects us. He provides for us. And he loves us more than he loved his own life, that he would lay it down for us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly, that we might inherit by faith eternal life, to get to be called the bride of God, the bride of the Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we need to walk in that revelation each and every day. We should never take advantage of it. We shouldn't. We should be like Sarah with Abraham, and even more so, that he is our Lord. And we should revere that. We should respect that. We should be obedient to him, because he loves us enough to give his own life for us. The Creator, the Almighty, came and put on flesh. And he knew what it was like to have pain, a physical pain in his body. He knew what it was like to sweat, to toil, to work a job, you know, with his hands. He knew what it was like to be mocked and ridiculed, rejected. And that's a big one, isn't it? Because I know almost everyone I know has faced some type of rejection in their life. And it's not an easy thing to be delivered from. But hallelujah, by God's strength, we are healed and delivered. But he came and he did all this, and he became a man. He became a man so that he could die and redeem us by his blood, the blood that washes us clean and makes us whole. And because of that, let us submit to him. Let us serve him. Let us obey him, that we will be called his bride. Let us take care of his children and take care of them with tender care, respecting him, but being all in all that he's called us to be through his word. We are the bride. Hallelujah. And that goes along with we are the light of the world. Because isn't the bride the light of the world through Messiah? We see in Revelation the picture of the city coming down. It's like a bride, you know, ordained for her bridegroom. It says in Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world in Messiah. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Don't hide your light. Don't hide who you are. Don't be ashamed. Let your light shine bright. Yes, read and study the word. Let it become part of who you are, but let it shine through you. And how do you do that? You forgive the unforgiving. You love the unlovable. You serve the ungrateful. You be the hands and feet and follow Messiah. Take up your stake and follow him. Not just when it's convenient, or not just when you get a reward for it, or an attaboy, but all the time. Especially when it comes to your enemies. Carry your enemy's burden. You know, that's scriptural. You can't do that without the Messiah living within you, helping you. And that is what will be confound the world, in that why on earth would this person still want to have a relationship with me, or help me, or not want to retaliate or want revenge against me for all I've done to them. Instead, they can't be real, and there will come a time of testing to see if you're the real deal, or if this is just a, you know, a facade. Be real. Be real. And you can't do that without the Spirit of God. You can't do that without being totally surrendered and submissive to your bridegroom. Laying down your life, if need be, for His glory and for the advancement of His kingdom. He is the King. Are you willing to die for your King? Are you? Are you willing to die for your brethren? Are you? That's what the city on the hill's got to look like, people. That's what that city of the hill's got to be. It's got to be a glorious refuge, a sanctuary for all who would want to come there. It's got to look different than all the other cities. And if we really want to see an act of God, an act of our Creator like never before, then we need to become citizens of that kingdom. The kingdom is alive and well and living on the inside of you, and you cannot be ashamed of it. Let that light shine. That song we used to sing as children, "This Little Light of Mine." I still sing that because it's just as true and powerful for me in my life as it was when I sang it as a child. I'm going to let my light shine. The rains are going to come. Persecution's going to come. People are going to mock me. Oh, mockers are going to mock. People are going to ridicule. I can't get prideful and angry about that. I can't just act like, you know, I'm not, but I really am. I'm going to just keep on letting my light shine because it's the light of Messiah. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." If people don't have a personal encounter, a personal relationship, a personal understanding intimately of the Messiah, they don't really get the fullness of who He is, or they're not going to be grounded enough to stay when the storms come and trials and tribulations come, and they will come. He never promised they wouldn't come. I know that's kind of hard for some of us in the U.S. to understand, but as you reach out to other countries and other people in other countries where they are being persecuted for their faith, and they're not as ready to be opened to express that faith as we are because we have freedom here for now. I mean, then you start to understand how very blessed and privileged we have been as His children, that we should have been shining that light, that this United States of America being the city on the hill, and it is, and it was, in a way, but not to the fullness thereof. We need to be unified more. A house divided will not stand. And I believe that's what it's going to take. I know that's what it's going to take for us to finally become one in Messiah, become Ikad, and look like the city that this scripture, I believe, is talking about. And so, you know, I implore you, I encourage you. Be the city. Be the hands. Be the feet. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in mercy. Walk in love. And if you're not sure what love is, it's not just a sensual feeling, okay? Go and prayerfully consider and read and study. The scriptures gives a perfect definition of what it is and what it is not. And it, yeah, start in 1 Corinthians 13, but it's so much more than that. God is love. The Ruach is love. And without the Ruach, you cannot understand spiritual love. You can only understand earthly love. And that's just a glimmer of what true love is. And so we have to be set apart. We have to be different. Our light has to be brighter than any other light that's ever shined. And that is inside of us. And that's who we are. We are the light bearers. We are the light bearers of the Word of God. So let your light shine. Let it shine so bright that the demons in hell will run with their heads covered and their eyes closed, as far away from that light as humanly possibly to comprehend. Let them go back to where they came from and let them stay there so that our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors and our communities and the nations of the world can finally be delivered and set free from the deceiver who comes to deceive. And he's deceived all of us. And we shouldn't get so puffed up to think that just because now we have more knowledge than we used to have, and we've been given more information, and we've been given eyes to see a little deeper, and we've been restoring the ancient past, that we still are not somehow, some way in our lives deceived. Unfortunately, people, we have not arrived yet. And so let's take that into consideration when we're measuring someone else and where they're at in their life. Let's not forget. Let's not forget, lest we become prideful and boastful and think that we're something that we're not. This is a very sneaky thing, self-righteousness and pride. Very sneaky, very sneaky. And let's be very careful to not let that dim our light, because you may not see it, but I guarantee you the lost ones will see it, because the enemy will point it out. All the while he's making us prideful and attempting us with these things, he'll at the same time be pointing out to those who we're supposed to be witnessing to that we are, in fact, these things, which will what? It will give people a bad taste in their mouth for the God of Israel, because we are his representatives. We are, like I said, this is the things we are. We are his representatives here on earth. And so we have to take that responsibility very seriously. That doesn't mean we won't fail, okay? The minute the Holy Spirit convicts you and shows you where you have failed, be quick to repent and to say you're sorry and to do it openly. It says, confess your sins and you will be forgiven. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. Please forgive me. Be real with people. But in the same thing, don't walk in that sin and take that for granted that you should, you know, well, you know, the Father's grace covers me. No, 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 no. Don't be fooled. These people will not enter the kingdom of God. These people who continually walk in sinful ways will not enter the kingdom of God. It says in Revelations 21, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Hasatan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And a seal, he put a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more. So you see, he has deceived the nations. That means you and I. That means you and I. And that means that, I don't know if we're having technical difficulties or not, but I'm going to keep on going, and hopefully
you're
you
good.
Guys can hear me. Okay,
you're good,
okay, okay. I seen a little thing pop up there, Mark. I didn't know if I was losing you guys or not. But anyway, getting back to the point is that we have all sinned. We've all been deceived. But hallelujah, the good news is that he's going to be bound, and he's going to be bound very soon. And we need to do our part, and we need to be that city on the hill. And we need to stop focusing on everyone else's role and everyone else's part and where everybody else is at, and just do what you're called to do, and do it with the fullness of everything you have, with everything inside of you, and do it with honor, that you are serving the Most High God, who, like I said before, died for us, and now we should live for him. And that's who you are. That's who you are. Now, I wanted to read another scripture that I have pulled up here that tells you who you are in Messiah. We are the ones who praise. We are the ones who proclaim. We are the voice of Messiah. So it says in... And the one thing I wanted to bring up too, I kind of got sidetracked just a second, but it's that we're conquerors. We're conquerors. What does that mean? That means we win. Okay? We win. And there is a definition for the word of Israel that says those who prevail with the Almighty. Okay? And so we are Israel. We know that because we are grafted into Messiah, and he is Israel. And so it says in Romans 8, 31 through 39, and I want to read this to you, because I want to encourage you and help you to understand what it means to be a conqueror, to be a conqueror in the kingdom of all kingdoms, the kingdom of our Most High God. Romans 8, 31 through 39 says, what then? Are you to say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare even his own son, but gave him up on behalf of us all. Is it possible that having given us his son, he would not give us everything else too? So who will bring a charge against God's chosen people? Certainly not God. He is the one who causes them to be considered righteous. Who punishes them? Certainly not the Messiah Yeshua, who died, and more than that, has been raised, is at the right hand of God, his Father, and is actually pleading on our behalf. Who will separate us from the love of Messiah? Trouble? Nay. Hardship? Nay. Persecution? Nay. Hunger? Nay. Poverty? Nope. Danger? War? Nope. As the Tanakh says, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Through the one who has loved us, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor other heavenly rulers, neither what exists nor what is to come, neither powers above nor powers below, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of Elohim, of God, which comes to us through his Messiah Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Are you listening to this? It doesn't say we won't go through trouble or hardships or persecution or won't be hungry or have to experience poverty or danger or war or any of that. But we have already conquered it because he said, do not fear. I have overcome the world. And if we're in him, so have we. And this is but just a second in the annals of time of what, you know, we have waiting for us that we can't even imagine. We can't even comprehend. And human beings have great imaginations. I know I do. But it says that we can't even comprehend. We can't even imagine what all that he has for the ones who love him. I don't even know if we can express enough gratitude. I know we can. I know. But the thing is we need to keep on keeping on. No matter what we go through, he is with us. And he's already conquered death. He has already conquered the grave. He has made us conquerors too, because through him we have conquered as well. It is finished. It is finished. And we need to walk in that finished state. No matter what is going on in this season or in this time that we're in until time is no more, we need to walk as if it's already done. It's already finished. That's what he says. We need to realize that we have been given authority, just like he was given authority as through faith in him and in him indwelling in us. Now we have that authority. And so we need to stop walking around like we've been conquered, like we have a formidable enemy that we should be fearful of. We shouldn't even consider him. It says, don't even think about him. Just do what we got to do. Go forward. Get up. Shake it off. Keep moving. Do what he's anointed you to do. And do it with resolve. Do it in faith, trusting that when you go, he'll already be there waiting for you. He'll open all the doors that you need to be opened for the service that he's called you to do. He'll shut all the doors from your past that no man can ever open again, lest you, by lack of faith, and just go forward. And if you need more faith, if you need more belief, then he'll even give you that. Just ask him. He says he will. He says he'll equip you with everything you need to accomplish everything you're supposed to accomplish in this lifetime, until everything is restored, until the garden is back and it's in a better shape than it ever was. And we're all there and we're all singing and praising and proclaiming the goodness of our Father, the mercy of our Father, the kindness of our Father, the power of our Father, and how he intermingled and intervened in the lives of his children, and how he took care of us, and how he is the great I am, the one and only, and that no enemy can stand in his presence and live. Hallelujah. This is who we are. This is who we are. And it's an honor and a privilege, and more than we can ever understand or comprehend. But let's strive to, let's keep on keeping on and going and going out into the highways and the byways, as my husband says, and let's bring the gospel to the nations of the world without our prejudices, okay, without our assumptions, our presumptions, and just go and do what he wants us to do. Don't stop to think, well, he wouldn't want me to do that or that. Hey, if it's based in love and the Holy Spirit is saying it, then don't second guess it. He speaks to his children. So go and do what he's appointed you to do. and be willing. Be willing. Everybody wants to have this gigantic ministry. Everybody wants to do these things. Well, it's going to cost you, okay? It's going to cost you. Are you willing to pay the price? Because if you are, the more willing you are to give up of your own life and your own ideas and your own pre-planned notions, then the bigger the ministry is that he'll give you, and the bigger the way he can use you, because it's not you anyway, okay? It's him in you. Just be willing to let him flow freely through you without you hindering him or quenching his spirit. Okay, and so that's what I'm trying to tell you. Prayerfully consider and then lay yourself on the altar, just like Isaac. Lay yourself on the altar. His father laid him on there. Allow our father to lay us on there and to use us, whatever it takes, that he may be revealed in this earth, that his kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, this is who you are. This is who I am. This is who we are. As a family, as a body, as brethren. And pray for one another. And love one another and respect one another. But I see that my time is getting closer. But I wanted to tell you this. I wanted to tell you this. That you are the temple of God. This is so important for you to understand and comprehend exactly what this means. It's not just nice words. It's not just a visual picture of a temple. Okay? You are the temple of the Most High God. The Ruach HaKodesh is in you. He comes and he makes his abode in you, in your heart, and he gives you a heart of flesh, and he gives you wisdom, and he comforts you, and he teaches you. You are the temple of God. And as the temple of God, you need to be a place of refuge, a place of praise and worship, a place of peace and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You need to be everything to anyone who is there. Because what do people do? They go to the temple and they go there expecting deliverance, redemption, help in a time of need, hope. We are the temples of God. And we need to remember that. We need to lay ourselves down and be that temple. And I wanted to read in Hebrews 5, 7 through 9. And to me, this is such an example of being the temple of God, that even against our own, you know, fleshly mind or desires, we are surrendered to the Father as his temple to do his will. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9 says, during Yeshua's life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions, crying aloud and shedding tears. Okay? So during his life, he offered up prayers and petitions, crying aloud and shedding tears to the one who had the power to deliver him from death. And he was heard because of his godliness. Even though he was the son, he learned obedience through his sufferings. And after he had been brought to the goal, he became the source of eternal deliverance, eternal life to all who obey him. So even Yeshua, because of his sufferings, okay, because he suffered too, he learned obedience through that. So if you've been through a lot in your life and you're thinking, why is it that it all seems like I'm just attacked constantly, physically in my body, my finances, my family, my job, I don't know, wherever, and it's just never ending, and it's like, oh my goodness, I'll have these little moments of reprieve, but then I'm getting attacked again and again and again. Count it all as joy, people, because that means he is forming you. He is molding you. He is teaching you to be obedient. And it is by and through obedience that we become the children of God. We become eternal living examples to others, because it is through that that we learn to obey. And it is through obedience, okay? It is through obedience that we can receive all the promises that have been written for us in the Word of God. It is through obedience. And a lot of people think, well, you know, these promises aren't coming to me. Well, maybe you're not ready to be obedient yet, but you will be as long as you keep lying yourself down and surrendering to Him daily. Don't rebel when you're rebuked. Don't rebel when you're corrected. Don't rebel when you go through various trials and troubles. Praise Him, because He's trying to show, He's trying to change you into His likeness. He's trying to mold you into the vessel that you've said to Him, "Here am I, I'll go." Well, it's not that simple. He's got to prepare you to go first. And sometimes that takes longer than others, especially for people like me who seems to sometimes have a hard head, and I need to learn that lesson the hard way. But it's okay. I praise Him. I praise Him through the trials and tribulations. I praise Him through my Romans 8:28 life. I praise Him. And I encourage you to do the same, because you will be transformed. You will be renewed. He will finish what He started in you. And what a glorious day that will be when you can stand in His presence and say, "Thank you. Thank you for the things I went through. Thank you that you didn't give up on me. Thank you for continually working with me and through me until I became the fullness of the child that I it should have always been. Thank you, Father. You are good. You are merciful. You are kind." If you, it's not too, you know, if Yeshua went through it, who was perfect, okay, and He still praised the Father, then who are you or I to ever not say, "Okay, you know what? Not my will, but Thy will be done." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Preach it, girl.
Oh, I just felt so passionate about this, that, you know.
Oh, well, that's the first time I've ever heard you be passionate, Angie.
Oh, I hope I didn't go over. I lost track of time. I hope I didn't go over.
No, you're fine. Oh, okay. Can I play you a little portion of a quick song for you?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love it. I love
okay,
it.
Okay, here we go. Hold on.
Thanks.
We have overcome. We have overcome. We have overcome, we have overcome. We have overcome, we have overcome. We have overcome, we have overcome.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's Kim Josephson. Kim and I used to do tent revivals together. We did it for about 3.5 years together, about three to 6 months out of the year. And I'm going to tell you what, your preaching reminds me of Kim's preaching. That's all there is to it.
Well,
so,
it's a good thing, Mark.
It is. It's a great thing. You know that. You know.
Well, you know. Sometimes,
you know how I feel about you. So. Oh my gosh, that was great. It was, you weren't very far into it. I guess, somebody in the chat room says, "Mark, she's, preaching your sermon in there." So, well, if anybody's going to, it's going to be Angie. So, you know, anyway.
Well, I think we have a lot of the same heart, Mark.
We do. Really, we do. Yeah, that's all there is to it. So, you know, there's going to be a day pretty soon when, I'm going to buy me a great big, tent and, I'm going to show up at your door and say, "Angie, drop everything. You and I are going to go do tent revivals."
And you know what? I would.
I know you would.
Then
we're going to stop off. We're going to get Emmanuel and Chrissy and James and Gail.
Oh,
and we're going to
get
Paul Neeson. And we're going to grab all these guys. And we're going to go traveling around the country doing tent revivals. What do you think?
In your little house.
In the tiny house. That's right. Every one of us have our own little tiny house. And we'll be convoying down the road. People will see us all convoying down the road in our tiny houses. And they'll say, "Oh, there they go. Those are the tiny house revival people right there."
Yes. He may me. Send me.
All those tiny houses create one big house, the house
that's
of
right.
Yah.
Woo-hoo. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Love
I'm
it.
Honored to be with all you guys. You're just awesome, wonderful brethren, and I love you all.
Angie, I was right with you all the way. I was on the chat room, and I was like, I was the cheerleader. I was like, "Oh my goodness, the spirit of Yah is all over her." I was dancing and singing, and I mean, thank you.
Yeah, take a look at the chat room because it'll be very encouraging for you, especially a little bit like in the middle of it somewhere with all these things going. You'll love it.
Hallelujah! Thanks, guys. Yah are really encouragers, and I appreciate that. I appreciate it a lot.
We know your heart there, Angie, and that's the biggest issue here is you know what I got to thinking you know in the first few minutes that you were teaching on this because I love your show, I love your passion, I love your teaching, I love everything that you bring to Lamb Radio, and there's been so many times that I've told other people to come in and listen to Angie's show, and you know what's exciting to me, and I got to hold back here because I'm going to tear up, is the awesome thing about these 3 days and the ability to bring all of you teachers, you know, there's only like maybe one or two that could not do this of all the teachers in Lamb Radio. And then we've got some new ones since we put this together that, of course, couldn't be a part of this. But by people coming in, they are experiencing the different teachers that are within Lamb, that make up Lamb Radio's community and family here, they're getting a chance to hear him. You know, I never heard that speaker before. I've never, like Monty Judah said last night, who are all these people that are speaking? This is awesome that there's so many new people coming in and teaching in the Messianic lifestyle, and they're getting a chance to hear you guys, most likely for the first time. And that's what's awesome to me is that we have this ability to bring in you people that have such a passion and a great message to give out. And you're getting to experience this and giving it to the people that have never heard this. So, and we're getting a lot of great comments in the chat room. So I really do appreciate you, Angie, big time. Love you.
Well, you know, it's like a community, and I'm sure, you know, everybody has busy lives in ministry. We all are very busy, but I really do believe, and I just want to say this before I, you know, before I sign off here, but I really do believe, Mark, that, and I say this on my show often, that you have been blessed, and we have been blessed by you, but you have been blessed with some of the most anointed, pure-hearted ministers of the Father ever, because the times I have been able to listen to the various shows and stuff, I've always felt the Spirit and been encouraged and left a little stronger than I were before I listened to it. So I'm just really blessed to be a part of it.
Thank you.
And
thank
I just
you.
Want to say that.
So, thank you so much. I'm going to give you, it just reminds me of a real quick, we won't take up Tom's time here, but a real quick thing that is behind the scenes that really, it's mostly the board that knows this because we've all had to deal with this. The Lamb board knows this, but there have been people that have come to me and asked me to do a show on Lamb Radio. And there are times when I do and times when I don't. Mostly I don't. I literally need the Lord to show me that it's right. And there are times when I've added people in across the board, rarely. And I would probably say most, like about 90 to 95% of the time, they don't last. Or there's a problem here. There's something that just didn't work out with Lamb, and we either had to let them go or they left or whatever. And there's been a few, but whenever the Lord shows me somebody, and you know, I go check it out, I confirm that within my own spirit, and I bring them in. These people have always been the most integrity people. Yeah, of course we've lost a few, you know, things happen, things change. There's been a lot that have gone through Lamb Radio, but they're always the most integrity people. And so I don't know where to go with that except for, you know, in response to what you just said, it literally is exactly what you said. And it's when the Lord builds the house, nothing can tear it down. That's all there is to it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Angie, so much for coming and sharing this afternoon. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Mark, for the opportunity. And see you guys later. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.